Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge, right here on RFI. They're the host who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
It's been a while. You better do some stretches, man.
Yeah. See if we remember how to do this. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Vinson, and sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, how you doing?
Nothing you're about to hear is true, and we would just like to extend a nice welcome back to our good friend Steve. He's been gone.
I think you're reading my cards.
Oh shit. Yeah. That's right. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. This is Say Your Name. And sitting right over there is Say His Name. Well, I do apologize to our listeners, but I'm not that sorry. Sorry, not sorry, because I did it for the show. I went and I got myself in a little bit of trouble. I appreciate what you did because I know you spent a lot of psychic energy.
It was a long night after that.
I'm sure your relationship with the Space Lord will never be the same.
No, like, no. Unfortunately, now I owe him a favor.
You probably got up the next morning, you woke up, and you're like, oh, good morning, good morning. You're trying not to make eye contact.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I'm just going to get some coffee. Yeah, yeah, coffee. Good idea. All right. Weird night last night, huh? No, huh? No, no, it's not weird. It's not awkward.
Not awkward at all. I got to be going.
I have this thing I got to go to. So, yeah, me too. Me too. I got to go too. All right. Well, call me.
No. Call me? Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. You're not going to call me, are you? Yeah, probably not.
It was exactly like that.
Anyway, I do appreciate it. And I ended up blacking out again, actually, after we finished recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up in a hospital bed in Zurich, Switzerland, of all places.
Were you taking Ambien?
The chocolate was awesome. And I always knew exactly what time it was. And they had one tool for everything. So over there, they have big clocks around their neck, like Flava Flav. except they're Swiss, and they tell perfect time. Anyway, so while I was in the Swiss hospital, I got better, and then I blacked out again. I woke up in London, and my hair was perfect.
Boom, psh.
All seriousness aside, we had a fantastic trip to the old country, where it all began. We left on a Wednesday morning from Indianapolis. We flew to Boston. We had an 8-hour layover. And then we flew to London from there, from Boston to London. What do you do during an 8-hour layover at an airport? What do you do if you're me and you have an 8-hour layover?
I'm sure part of it involves going to the bathroom.
Yes, going to the bathroom. Going to the bathroom is one of the things, but that was more of an effect, that was more of a side effect, not a main activity. What we did is we went and we had a little lunch with some beers, and then we went and had dessert without any food. Just beers. Constance was drinking wine. I was drinking beers. And by the time, then the Cubs game started, because that was the same day as the Game 7 of the World Series. And so we were sitting at a bar watching the game. And then we had to actually board the plane in like the seventh inning. And we weren't feeling very much pain at this point. So we get on the plane, and it's a big, nice, comfortable plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 6.5 hour flight, maybe seven and a half. I don't know. It's overnight, basically. We got on the plane at like 10:30,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we fly over there, and they're 5 hours ahead. So we got over there. Oh, excuse me. We got over there. It was like 9 in the morning their time.
Now you're gonna black out again, are you?
Maybe. If I do, I have one of those MedAlert bracelets so that, like, you know, if you find me passed out, like the emergency personnel can open it up and it says, call nearest Catholic church.
That's right. It's got a direct link to the Vatican. You know,
yeah,
the right. Pope's ring goes, beep, beep, beep.
I've been possessed and I can't get up. So this plane had little video screens in the back of the seat in front of me,
mm-hmm.
like a little video screen
mm-hmm.
with free movies. So I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit here and drink those little bottles of booze that they give you on airplanes and watch some movies. So I dialed up Independence Day Resurgence. Have you seen that one?
No. Sorry.
Spoiler alert. Will Smith is not in it.
Oh, well, see, now I'm going to have to see it.
I told you to get off my planet.
Suddenly Will Smith is Samuel Jackson.
I said, get off my planet. Wheezy. I mean, Elizabeth. Elizabeth. I told him to get off my planet. You know, I don't think they say that line in the whole movie, get off my planet. It turns out, after you sit in an airport drinking beer all day,
mm-hmm.
when you get on a plane at almost midnight and you try to watch Independence Day Resurrection or Resurgence or whatever, it's hard to stay awake. And I tried to watch that goddamn movie like 5 times during the course of the night. I kept waking up and like the credits are rolling. I'm like, mm-hmm. God damn it. So I started over and I get like a little bit further and then fall asleep again.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on all night long. So I never finished. I never finished the movie, but the plane did end up in London. And,
well, that's good.
It was fun. So we met up. You have any questions about London or anything you would like to hear me talk about London? Or...
No, I think you were going somewhere with this. So
were you
going
to ask me if they got the metric system over there?
Yeah, what do they call a quarter pounder over there?
They call it a quarter pounder. It's England. They use the same words we do. There were a number of McDonald's, though. And one of the things that's striking about going to Europe and mm-hmm. seeing a fast food chain that mm-hmm. is ubiquitous in the United States, they don't have as much room over there as we do over here. So they got their, like the McDonald's is like next to the train station in a little storefront, you know?
Ah. It's like a Subway.
Yeah, exactly.
That used to be like, you know, a key shop.
A key shop or a Radio Shack. So, but not there. It's tiny. McDonald's is here. Yeah, here it's like they buy like 5 acres of land, and
yeah,
and use 3 of it for parking, and then you know 1 acre is the playground, and you know the drive through takes up 1/2 acre.
Mm-hmm.
But not over there. Anyway, where was I?
Well, do they have acres over there, or do they call it something else?
They call him Hectors.
Okay. What do they call Hector?
They call him Jorge. Hector. Hector Gonzalez. They don't have any Mexicans. At least not very many. I didn't see any. It was weird. You see guys like blowing leaves and stuff because they got that over there. Like guys mm-hmm. with leaf blowers and shit. And they're all like white dudes. There's like not one brown person blowing leaves or doing construction.
That's racist.
I know. Where's their brown people at?
Where are you goddamn brown people at? Get off the plane.
Where are the brown people at? I'm like, I know y'all just had Brexit, so you must have brown people you're pissed off at. I mean, we got Trump. It's like, if Eastern Europeans were our problem here, we probably wouldn't have a problem because we wouldn't be able to tell them from anybody else, right? It's like Western Europe, Eastern Europe, we don't give a shit as long as you're white.
That's right.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing, too, because, as you know, we were there during the election.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me back up a little bit. So our oldest French, she was in a French exchange program where she went to Paris. Mm-hmm. Little kid from Paris came here. I think I talked about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the parents of the family that she stayed with came to London. And they took a train from Paris to London.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 2.5 hours. I was like, damn, you can get on a train in Paris and be in London in 2.5 hours.
That's crazy.
You know how long it takes me to? It takes me 3.5 hours to get to Chicago. And I consider that close. And that's not on a train. A train would take like 5 or 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. And I was like, you know, and I was very delicate. And I was trying to express my shock isn't the right word, but my, you know, how weird it was for me, how close they were. And I was talking about how, you know, it's funny because, you know, in World War II, well, you know, Germany was just right over there, mm-hmm. just right across. And they're like, yes, in France, we know. It's like, oh, you heard of that. Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure France put up a pretty good fight. She's like, you don't have to. My grandfather was on the Maginot Line. And I was like, oh, the Maginot Line. She's like, yeah, it sucked. I was like, well, it was pretty good if you were fighting World War I, but
not so much the sequel.
Didn't work as well when you could just drive a tank around to the back. But he made it out. He made it out of the war. He made it out of the prison camps. I was like, well, that's good. Anyway, back to my point, which was, it's like, I kept trying to make their points. I mean, you know. Like their points were more interesting or something. They had relatives there. But I thought of something. I mean, in my thoughts, aren't my thoughts more interesting than their actual experiences? I would think. Anyway, so I was like 2.5 hours from Paris to London. During the war, people that wanted to kill people in London were less than 2.5 hours away by train. Well, not then because they didn't have the tunnel. So no wonder they were getting the shit bombed out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of go, well, wait a minute. How did Germany bomb London? Well, it's probably like a 45-minute plane ride, you know? And she said, her answer was, that's very interesting that you're, you know, people that wanted to kill people in London were less than 2 hours away. You know, people that wanted to kill people in Paris were in Paris.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that.
And my answer to that was, well, yeah, but still.
Then she go, all right, I got it. You're right. You put it that way.
Yeah. A lot of talk about how Europe's better than America. A lot of that kind of talk. Although not so much from the French exchange parents. A little bit, but not too much. Like especially when Trump would come up. It was like, generally, it was kind of like, how in the hell did you guys end up with Trump and Clinton as your choices? I'm like, I don't fucking know. And then my friend Rob from college, he married a French girl and they live in France. Huh. And so they came over, they flew on an airplane.
Uh-huh.
glad I clarified that.
Yeah, because I thought, well, they're passing out superpowers in France, I guess.
It was a dirigible. You know, they still got the dirigible over there.
It took them like 62 hours to get there.
Oh, the humanity.
They're incredibly slow.
Yeah. But fun. Oh, my God. And so, yeah, they came to visit. There was a lot more America bashing during that visit. And, like, everything was wrong with America. And everything that's wrong with America is right in France. They were doing a little bit of England bashing, too, while they were at it. Like, you just hate English-speaking countries. That's all. You just hate the English language and people that speak it. So there's a lot of that. Then my German friend from college, he had a business trip to London, and he, like, extended it to spend a day with us. And we got more explanation as to why America's not great. Like, he's like, the healthcare system is terrible. I was like, all right. Okay.
Okay. All right. There's one for you.
Yeah. He was going on about how bad Bush was, right? I'm like, all right, I'm not going to argue with you on that. He's like, Obama's been a great president. And Americans should elect Hillary Clinton because I think she'll be a great president as well. And I don't understand why Americans, you know, Obama fixed health care. He fixed it. It was like, well, hold on. He said, you just said the health care system is terrible. And he's like, well, yeah, but now you got the Obamacare and it's going to fix it. And I was like, Obamacare hasn't done anything to fix anything. It's, yeah. I said, okay, well, don't take my word for it. Let's take your word for it. I was like, what was wrong with the American healthcare system? Too expensive. I was like you spend three times as much as anybody else on healthcare, and it's not as good a healthcare. I was like, all right, the not as good part, that's kind of subjective.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
if it's as good or not. I do know that, you know, fucking people from other countries come here to get their surgery instead of staying in their own country. But that's neither here nor there. It's three times the cost. Can't argue that point. So Obamacare didn't do anything to address that. In fact, the cost has gone up since. So that's not working, and people are kind of pissed about that. He's like, oh, okay. So anyway, so then he left. And don't get me wrong, we had a great time because I'm only describing, like, you know, 10% of our time together. The rest of the time was awesome, which I'll tell you about in a second. But after he left, Constance looks at me and she's like, so do we have any more friends coming to, you know, tell us how horrible America is? But Eric was funny. Eric was the German guy.
We're all living in America. America is wunderbar. We're all living in America. 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 We're all. Richtig geht. Wir bilden einen
We're all living in America. America is wunderbar. We're all living in America. 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 We're all living in America. Coca-Cola, sometimes war. We're all living in America. America. America.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. Thank you for not clicking on the safety pin that I got on your back. That's an interesting thing. That whole safety pin thing, are you aware of
that? Yeah, I'm pretty quite aware of it, yeah.
That one snuck up on me like the Pokemon Go thing. Like I'm looking at Facebook after I got back to the world, and somebody had posted, I think it was MP, had posted why... He posted a news article link to why the safety pin thing was wrong and why people shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And I remember thinking, like, the first thing I thought was, what is it? Like, it said, like, hey, white people, your safety pins are bad. And I was like, I'm white, and I don't use safety pins. I don't know what. Do they mean hairpins? I don't know. What are they talking about? Is it like, have white people started using safety pins to hold up their pants? What's going on? It's so I read the article, and like the article basically talked about, I don't know, white guilt or something.
That's what irritated me the most, because I read that article. And what irritated me about that was it said something to the effect of, you know, using them to make yourself feel better. And I'm like, no, that's not why you do it. You know, it played into what you just said about the white guilt thing. It's like, no, yeah. I'm not wearing a safety because my daughter wears one. I wear one. I got friends that wear them. And I had to do, I did a fuck ton of research when I found out about it. Because like, I'll be goddamned if I'm going to be duped, you know. So I want to, because anymore. Fuck it. Anymore, the shit gets like researched in the ground before I even fucking walk out the door, or hit the like button on somebody's post, because I ain't having it no more. So no, but it was like something to the effect of, you know, to make ourselves feel better, we wear these pins, and it's like, no, that's got nothing to do with it.
How about for our listeners who don't know what the background of the pin is or what they're for? Since you're a fan and you do it and your family does it, how about you explain it?
Well, in a nutshell, the safety pin is essentially telling people who are not, you know, closet homosexual white guys that, like, I'm a safe zone for you. I don't judge you. I will help you if you need it, is the nutshell of that.
Who are you helping? Who are you telling to help?
Essentially, as I said, anybody who isn't a white closet homosexual.
So you're not a safe zone for a white closet homosexual?
No.
Okay. Because you don't like those people. You don't like closet homosexuals?
No, I would prefer my homosexuals out of the closet. Wait a minute. What?
you gotta let all your homosexuals out of the closet. Yeah. How many homosexuals do you have in your closet?
Yes, this is what happens when you ask me a question.
Well, that's pretty much what I understood too. Is like it's a, it's sort of like wearing a pink ribbon around breast. The month of the breast?
Yes.
Breast month?
The breast month.
Breast awareness month.
Yeah.
I think it's called. Or yellow ribbon on whatever yellow ribbons are for. Or black ribbon. Was that Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So much stuff matters.
Well, when did this start?
It crept up on me. I know it started as a initially it started with the whole Brexit thing.
Oh, it did?
I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah, but it came when it migrated over here. We basically use it as a to let people know that not everybody is like not everybody's a hater. If you're any of the LGBT PRQ,
does P and R stand for purple? And
but it migrated over here, and it snuck up on me because I started noticing like a lot because I have a lot of artist friends. And I started noticing they were popping up, and I'm thinking, what are people like doing some kind of new art thing with these pins?
Where do you wear them? What do you do?
On your shirt, basically, yeah. Or your I wear mine's on my jacket because I'm sitting in the house in my shirt. What the hell good is it going to be on my shirt? You know, outside if I'm wearing a jacket.
How about that area between the shaft of your penis and your scrotum? What's that called?
Well, you know, that's called the no-no zone. I'm not putting a
safety pin there. All right. But no. That would fact, be...
But then you got to wear it out of the house, so...
Well, but I mean, if by some weird coincidence or some strange series of events, a homosexual was down there and you had your pants off...
That would be a very weird.
And somehow your penis is lifted up. They would look and they would go, "Oh, safe zone, right here." Unless they were a closeted homosexual, in which case you'd be like, "That ain't no safe zone for you. Get out."
That's right. And you can't see it anyway because you're in the closet in the dark.
That's right. Okay, anyway. That was. Horrible. I'm glad our listeners know me and they know that I'm not a horrible person, or maybe they do know that I am a horrible person. Either way, that little horrible joke I just made is not going to change their mind one way or the other.
Right.
However, moving on, why a safety pin? Is it because it has the word safety in it?
Yes. You think? Yes, that's exactly what okay. It is.
You know what we should do? You know how there is a color ribbon for everything. There's like the, you know, like I said, pink for boobs. There's black for Black Lives Matter. There's yellow for, I think, troops. Is it the troops?
Or yes.
Is it all other kinds of cancer?
So, no, it's for the troops.
Yeah, green is probably environment. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all these things, right? And so what mm-hmm. you could do is you could go, you know, to your conservative friends. You could be like, Black Lives Matter. Black ribbons. It's like all lives matter. And you know what? All lives matter. And to represent all lives, I'm going to wear a rainbow ribbon. And conservative friends can be like, yeah, man, all lives matter. You go, here's a rainbow ribbon for you to wear to show that all lives matter. The next thing you know, you'd be like, oh, and the thing to do is to pin it on with a safety pin. I'm like, oh. Good idea. So
that would be brilliant. Because they'd be just dumb enough to fall for it. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Like, you know what they would do? They'd form parades.
Yeah.
they'd parade down the street.
Somebody should make a flag. Somebody should make a flag. All lives matter flag. A rainbow. Hey, Cletus, I think I just saw one of them. I was in Chicago for a fishing convention, and I saw... at the Bass Pro Shop, and I saw a parade where they had an All Lives Matter flag. And it must have been hot, because all them boys was wearing was short shorts and nothing else.
It's mighty hot. We should let's take off our shirts.
Yeah. Let's take off our shirts. Put on our cutoff jeans, our cutoff jean shorts. Take off our shirts, get our All Lives Matter flags.
and we need like a theme song. So to show that we're champions of this cause, I know, let's get Queens, We Are the Champions.
Yeah.
We'll play that up and down the street.
You know what band I always liked? Because they had they represented real men, you know, like real men.
The work,
like
a that's
construction
right.
worker. You got the cop. You got the warrior, the Native American that's warrior. Right.
The soldiers.
Soldier. The sailor. Let's dress up like them and get our All Lives Matter flag. And this could actually work.
I think we can probably get it off the ground because none of those kind of people listen to our show, so they would have no idea what we're planning.
Well, it's true, and Carl's too smart to fall for it. So, love you, Carl. I mean that in all sincerity. You're too smart to fall for it. But don't tell your friends. Don't tell Cletus.
That's right.
And don't tell Cletus and RF and John Ray and Harry Bill, Jim Bob, LT, and AL. That's one thing about Hicks and Rednecks. It's like, no, there are certain initials that go together, like JD. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. JD's fine. JP, you can be JP. But you start going with things like AR. Yeah, no.
That's right. No one's going to be like, oh, KX Swanson. He was a hell of a...
KX Swanson, what is that, a radio station?
Yes. All bacon all the
Ladies
time.
And gentlemen, KX Swanson, turkey bacon. So Eric is there just for a day. So we go out to dinner, and after dinner we're like, we're in Piccadilly Circus, and they call, like, it's weird, but the best I could tell, a circus for them are they call these kind of areas a circus, where there's like a roundabout and like a fountain. And I think it's sort of like a town square, only it's a circle. And it's like a circuit. They call it a circus. So Piccadilly Circus is really famous because it's got lots of theaters, lots of regal buildings, the shops. I mean, it's like one of the areas of London that people go.
Right?
Sort of like, and it's close to Soho. Where they drink champagne that tastes just like Coca-Cola. So we ate in Piccadilly Circus, and then we're just wandering around looking for a bar or, you know, a pub to just sit and have a drink. And across the street, Eric just, like, he's got his luggage with him still because he had just flown in that morning. So he's got this suitcase he's pulling behind him, you know, on wheels, whatever. And he just takes off across the street. We're like, I look at Constance, she looks at me, and we're like, well, let's follow him. And so we followed him, and he goes up to this place called Soho Lights. So we're in Soho now, and he's like, this looks fun, let's go in here. I'm like, okay. So we go in there, and the minute we walked in there, the average age shot up about 10 years. Anyway, so we go in to this place, and there's a guy at the door. He's like, hello, mate. Are you on the list? Suddenly he's Australian, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I got one non-American accent. And it sounds vaguely a combination of Australian and Cockney. So he's like, are you on the list? And Constance and I, again, are just kind of standing there. And Eric just starts going, yeah. Name's Eric Oldenkopf. Check the list. The guy's like looking at the list. He's like flipping the pages of the list. He's like, ah, I can't find you. What company are you with? And he's like, and Eric is the CEO of a company. And so he said that company name, whatever it was. I was trying to think of the company name that Kramer and George Costanza always used.
Vandala Industries? Is that what?
Vandala Industries. Like Vandala Industries. Eric Oldacup, I'm the CEO. Guy's looking, he's like, I'm not seeing you on the list. He's like, oh, we must be on there. He's like, no. He's like, you do know this is a private party, right? This is a private club that's been rented out for a private party. And he's like, oh, yeah, but I'm sure I'm on the list. He just keeps. So the guy looks over his shoulder and like pulls over this lady that was standing nearby and like says, like, he says he's supposed to be on the list and he's not on the list. I don't know. What do you want me to do? So she was kind of like probably one of the hostesses, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy's just the paid help, you know, the muscle
right,
at the door. Right. And she's like, oh, well, what's your name? What company are you with? I'm Eric Oldacup. I'm with Vandala Industries. It's like, oh, okay. Are you on the list? I don't know. I should be, but I'm not. I'm here with my two American friends. And we're like, hi. So he's like, I'm from Germany. I'm from Berlin. And
I like the American wave you had there. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. So, hi. How are you doing?
It's the national wave.
And, well, I'm glad he didn't say we were British. We'd have been fucked.
Because you're British by way of Australia. Because you only got one accent.
Hello, mate. Hello, love. So she goes, ah, it's fine. So I'm like, okay. And so we start to walk in, and the paid rent-a-cop guy, not really a rent-a-cop because he was dressed like a hipster, but he's like, well, wait a minute. But you're not on the list. It's like, but the lady said it was okay. It's like, just relax. And he kept talking, and Eric kind of comes over to us, and I go, all right, who am I and who are you? He's like, I'm Eric Oldacup from Vandala Industries, and you're my American friend. I was like, what? Okay. I guess there's no con like telling the truth.
No, absolutely right? not.
It's like, okay. And the guy's still yapping, and we just walked in. And went to the bar and got a drink. Next thing you know, we're hanging out at this party, and people are like, oh, you know, what company are you with? And we're telling them, what does your company do? And he's telling them, you know, we trade in energy stocks and all this stuff. And
wouldn't it be funny if, like, no one in that entire place was on the list?
Well, yeah, it would be. It was some sort of film industry entertainment industry event, because everybody there was either a musical, like, performance mm-hmm. artist of some sort, either an actor. We met a saxophone player who plays for orchestras, and we've met filmmakers, people in the film industry, producers, and so I figured all this out by the time somebody asked me what I do. So they're like, what company are you with? I'm like, Vincent Corporation. Oh, what do you do? So yeah, it's mergers and acquisitions, mostly in the film industry. But, you know, we're looking to produce some films. And, you know, my friend Eric from Vandalay just said, you know, there's some people here we should probably meet. And so we're just fucking playing a game the whole time.
That's nuts.
And, so I posted a picture from that party, and it's like a bunch of poser types around a big giant headed doll of Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that picture.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was in the basement of that party.
You couldn't even get into a bar in Indianapolis bluffing your way on a list. You're over there.
It's true.
In London.
On a list. On a list that I was supposed to be on.
That's
right. I was told I was on. And I had to pay. And I go to London, and my German friend, and I don't know if you knew this, but the Germans and the English aren't necessarily best friends. But somehow my German friend got me into an English party on a list that we weren't even supposed to be on.
That's because Germans are efficient
and persistent.
Yeah.
But Eric was telling us about, like, he was there Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny. Well, there were no results for the election by the time we went to bed because we're 5 hours ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like at midnight it was 7 o'clock and there's still no results coming in. So we're like dead tired. We just go to bed, right? I was explaining to him, like, Hillary Clinton's going to win in an electoral landslide, right? So it's not even going to be close. And I was like, you know, I don't like either one of them. And I don't think anything's going to get any better with Hillary, but at least it'll be bad, but it'll be bad in a predictable way.
Right. You know? Right. Exactly.
And in a way that's no more scary than it's been for the last 25 years. Right.
Right.
The only scary part is we continue our long, gradual, certain slide into oblivion, right? Whereas with Trump, I was like, yeah, he might be fine. He might be all right. Maybe this whole thing's been a con game, as we've all sort of thought. Mm-hmm. And when he gets in office, he'll just hire all the same old people that have been running things forever, only they have R's behind their names now. And that may be the case, but I said there is a chance that he's batshit crazy and the whole shit house is going to go up in flames. So I guess Hillary is probably not quite as scary, right? Because there's probably not a chance that she is batshit crazy enough to light the shit house on fire. So we go to bed.
As a lot of us did.
We get up the next morning. I'm in the kitchen, like, getting some crumpets or what else? To the tea and biscuits or something. And Cheerios. I know they eat Cheerios because they say the word a lot. But so I'm in there and Eric comes out of the bathroom because he was in the shower, and he comes out and he goes, "What do you think of President Trump?" And I was like, "Oh," I was like, "Heil Trump." I was joking around. He's like, "I'm not joking." He didn't have to say it. He didn't have to say it, but there was a tinge of, "I'm German." I'm not joking. All right. As Germans go, you do joke more than most. And he's like, "I'm not joking. 270 to win. It's 266 Trump. And the remaining states are leaning toward it." I was like, you gotta be, no way. So of course I had to grab my internet thingy. And I, like everyone else in the world, I was shocked. But suddenly, every time at any pub that day when we went out and like at the museums and the pubs and all that stuff, on the Wednesday after the election, anytime anybody detected our accent, question one was, "Are you Canadian or American?"
So he started saying "aboot" a lot to get out of those situations.
"Aboot." "Aboot."
Using kilometers.
I don't know what's "aboot." Yeah. I have a sudden hankering for some walleye. And I want to listen to some Leonard Cohen. And so and we tell them we're American. And their second question would be, "What do you think about the Trump thing?" And before the election, one of our friends, our French friends, was like, "If anybody gives you any grief over the Trump thing, just ask them about Brexit. And that'll end the conversation pretty quickly." So yeah, there was a lot of questions about Trump and what we thought of it, you know. And I, like everybody else, I was shocked. And let them know I was shocked. I was sure Hillary Clinton was going to win. And they're like, and I said, "Well, we didn't really care for Hillary Clinton either. I mean, it's not like she was going to be the savior of the world. I mean, we've gotten to the point in our electoral system where we've said lesser of two evils long enough that it's kind of like if the eye doctor, like we've talked about before, when he does the, what's better, A or B? A or B? Like if he says, what's not, like, which is less bad, A or B? And then he kept doing that enough times. Eventually, you're going to end up with the two worst.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go, here is the absolute worst person on earth. And here is the one person on earth not as awful as that person.
Right.
And I think the message that I wish people could get, and it was Dan Carlin pointed this out on his podcast that I posted.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Paul Volstorf for that introduction. But the one thing I wish people would get is, if you're a Trump supporter and you absolutely hate the people that voted for Clinton, or if you're a Clinton person or a Trump hater, you absolutely hate anybody who voted for Trump, understand for a second that you hating your fellow countrymen may not be the productive direction for your anger, right? You're directing your anger at somebody who would have voted for anybody else.
Yeah.
If there had been a choice of anyone else,
mm-hmm.
you know, third party aside, I mean, most people believed that wasn't really a choice because they weren't going to win.
Well, I had plenty of rage on my Facebook page about people voting third party, just like it always happens. Third party yeah. always gets blamed.
Right. And there's no, like, zero evidence for that. I mean, there's yeah. no logical argument for that. But you have to understand, if somebody voted for Clinton, there are not that many people who voted for Clinton who really wanted to vote for Clinton.
Right.
And there aren't many people, there are not that many people, probably more, but that voted for Trump who voted for him because they really thought he was the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing, and Dan Carlin pointed this out, you also have to realize that Trump's probably not going to follow through on a lot of his promises
mm-hmm.
because he's the master persuader, which means he'll say whatever he needs to say to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he's elected, he's probably going to do different things, which is going to piss off a lot of Trump supporters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my message to liberals and non-Trump people and like Democrats and stuff, my message to them would be, give it a little time. And if you don't continue to push their buttons, like the Trump supporters' buttons,
mm-hmm.
they will eventually come around on their own and go, we thought this would be the one guy. You know, we've voted for people for decades that promised mm-hmm. one thing and did something different.
Mm-hmm.
This was the guy we thought was going to deliver. We no longer believe anybody will. Because if anybody was going to deliver on those promises, it was going to be him. He didn't do it. We're fed up. We're finally fed up. We want reform. I don't know,
right?
You know, if it's get rid of the Electoral College, or if it's get rid of the two-party system, or get rid of whatever the reform might be,
mm-hmm.
you got to do something to not have it come down to this again.
Right.
And that's something we can all agree on.
Yeah, exactly.
Whichever side of the coin you're on, right?
Right.
We might disagree on who ultimately it is, but let's at least have two people or three or whatever it is that we can all go, well, I hope that person doesn't win, but if they do, well, it's not going to, you know. Or let's have two people that people can be excited about.
Right.
Like, I'm excited about this person getting elected.
Right.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And thanks, by the way, thanks to Superfan James for helping out with the last episode. He came through in the clutch.
He did a great job.
I almost had to do the show myself till he called, you know, at just the right moment.
And the ringer on your phone, oh my God, must drive you crazy.
Oh, it does.
it's so loud.
Well, I'm hard of hearing, see. I gotta have something that okay. lets me know.
And it sounds like one of those old timey phones.
I borrowed it from the To Be or Not to Be movie set. Remember the gigantic Nazi phone? It's just
yeah, That when it rings, does the receiver on the hook, does it rattle back and forth?
In fact, it does, yes.
Yeah. Wow. I wonder why they did that. That's a weird design. Anyway, you know, we've said this before, and in all seriousness, I think he would be a good addition to the show on a more regular basis. He brings a certain hero worship that I find very appealing.
I enjoy it tremendously.
It feels great, except for when he says that he doesn't like a show. I don't like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like it because I welcome it, and I want him to continue doing it. But, you know, it's like, oh, we worked harder on that one. I guess the lesson is don't work so hard next time.
That could be the lesson.
But, yeah, we got to have him on to talk meat.
Yes.
Because, you know, he was talking the other day on Facebook about making beef jerky. And that's something I've not done, but I think I'd like to try. And so it'd be nice to have him on talk about beef jerky. Plus, here's a thought. The English don't have Thanksgiving. It was a surprise to me. I didn't realize they didn't have Thanksgiving. I'm sure they have 4th of July, but
yeah,
they don't have Thanksgiving.
But...
we're hosting Thanksgiving next week.
It's almost like they have a war on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. The hell? I said next week. Really should say this week. We're hosting Thanksgiving, and I'm getting a big turkey. I'm going to cook this turkey. And I wonder at the butcher shop at the Price Choppers if they butcher turkeys as well. Because if they do... I'd love to talk to Superfan James and get some tips on how to chop up turkey and maybe how to, and if not, I'd love to hear about, you know, meat cutting as well. Price Chopper meat chopping.
That's right. Just a meat show.
We should be eating meat while we're recording. All right. All that having been said, we truly appreciate our listeners. Thank you for sticking it out with us. We're coming up on our toward the end of our second season.
Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, it'll be our third season. And we couldn't be happier to have made it two seasons. And so with that, thanks for listening. Thanks for liking. Thanks for telling a friend. You know, listen with your dad or your kids. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Don't you dare click, because... doing 80 radio hours next. And don't forget, nothing you just heard was true.
My wife laments I drink and crash, but my teenage daughter in me. Please do not of house or dare speak, cause the truck pulled her. Personal gain, gone the hall, they come be hating and saying.
thought I'd say.